As I mentioned toward the end of last year, I want to do a sermon every month or so to help us have confidence, to help us be encouraged as we go through this year. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Psalm 139:13, for thou didst form my inward parts, thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. And Esther 4:14, for if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? These are verses we need to commit to our memory, also to review, because there is so much in the world that is going on that is trying to take away our confidence and give us a spirit of fear. I heard on the news yesterday of some things that took place, and I went this morning to find a slide. This is a picture where there is a missile strike yesterday on an American consulate in another country. You don't know if this is an accurate photo or something that is staged, but you hear all of these things going on around the world where you see so many people that are discouraged and depressed. We're living in times of war. We're living in a time of hyperinflation. This slide shows someone going to fill up their vehicle with a handful of $100 bills. Everything is going higher and higher and higher. You go to the store, if you have the money to go to the store, and what do you find? You find a bunch of empty shelves. People are discouraged. A lot of people are living in fear. But again, from the verses that we looked at, as Christians, we should not have a spirit of fear. And going back to Psalm 139, when we understand that the Lord formed us, when you read on down, I love verse 13, for you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. God knew us before we were born. God knew what our days would be for us before we were born. And they weren't days of despair and calamity, but God has plans for us. I want us to look this morning at getting from discouragement to encouragement. So the first part of the sermon is going to be a little bit discouraging. Hopefully, though, the second part will be encouraging for us. There's usually little comfort when people are depressed and discouraged. Normally, we try to keep from being depressed, but discouragements and depressions come into all of our lives at one time or another. It's not uncommon. In reality, there are times when we will be discouraged as well as depressed. You look at Jeremiah 6:14. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Jeremiah challenged the false prophets because this is what they prophesied. The false prophets, they lied. Jeremiah became known as the weeping prophet for everything that he saw going on round about him. Jesus wept openly over the state of his people. Matthew 23:37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, How often I wanted to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. You stop and think about Jesus. When is the first time that he saw Jerusalem? Probably back when he created the world and looked down from heaven and saw everything. He knew at that time too that he would be coming to die for not only Jerusalem, but for all mankind. I wanted to gather you, gather your children as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. That had to weigh heavy on Christ. In relation to spiritual matters today, there are some things that are discouraging and depressing. And with those slides I showed earlier, what's going on in the world, those will get us down. They get me down from time to time. And like this morning, I watched the news for a couple of minutes, and that was all. Then I went to some religious programming to listen to songs and some other things. Friends, all of that stuff that's discouraging in the world, it's just temporary. It's temporary. It's to remind us that this world is not our home. Some people get more worked up and discouraged about things that are temporary than things that are going on in the church. And I tell you, sometimes I get discouraged over things that I see in the church. Sometimes I see brothers and sisters fighting and fussing among themselves. Did the Lord come to die, shed his blood, to purchase the church so that brothers and sisters could fuss and fight with each other? We've lost the objective of what the church is all about. Some people get jealous of others. There's a variety of reasons. Some people may just somebody say something and somebody takes it the wrong way. And I tell you, there's one of the reasons there's a lot of fussing and fighting going on where it is because people aren't busy. If you're busy working for the Lord, you aren't going to have time to fight or fuss with one another. But it goes on. Sometimes you might be more discouraged of what is going on in the news than you are what's going on in the Lord's church. I'm discouraged when I see Christians that don't have joy. They lack the joy of life. They lack happiness. They lack cheerfulness. I don't go around with a smile from ear to ear. That's not my nature. But I'm a happy person, and I come across some people that are just so down in the mud. It's like everything in the world is going wrong for them. And I'm thinking, do you ever read your Bible? Do you remember that God came, he left heaven, he came down here to die for you, to save you from your sins? And you want to go through life with your chin dragging on the ground all day. Friends, that's discouraging. We think about the Ethiopian. After he was baptized, what did he do? He went on his way rejoicing. Acts 8:39. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Friends, all of us every day should go on our way rejoicing. But why are there some who seem to not be happy as Christians? Some have no joy in their hearts. They look upon Christianity as a duty. It's an obligation. I got to do this. I really don't want to. I'd rather be doing something else. But I got to do this. And it just makes them miserable. And you can tell that they are miserable. And when you see a bunch of people like that, and we don't have this here, but when you visit around in some places, you can tell when you see a bunch of people like that and you walk into the assembly, it feels like you're walking into a refrigerator cooler. It's just so the atmosphere is so cold and people are so distant. And it's like they're just putting in their time waiting till they can get out of there. Some people, and this is nothing new, Some people view religion, and sad to say, in the Lord's church, is nothing more than a checklist. You go down, well, I came, I sang, I gave, you know, I took the Lord's Supper, you know, I'm listening to somebody talk for a while, I can check that off my list, and I'll go on and do what I want to do. That's discouraging. It's discouraging to me, and we need to be concerned about the Lord's church. Christ prayed that his disciples might have his full measure of joy in them. John 17:13, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Christ was a joyful person. And you think about all the weight of everything that he carried. And when he would see crowds and he would be moved with compassion because they were hungry, they were sick, they were in need. Yet Christ had joy because he knew where he came from and where he was returning to be with the Father. And friends, we've got to have that in our minds when we look out and get discouraged by things in the world. We need to have the same joy that Christ had, that we're just here for a short time, and then we're going home to be with the Father. You think about David. That was hunted by Saul. He had enemies all around him. Many of his psalms talked about his enemies. Sometimes he was depressed. He was very depressed at some times. But then what else do we read when we read the Psalms? David, despite his adversity, he praised God in worship. He worshiped him with joy and gladness of heart. And I can tell you, I haven't gone through anything like David went through. I don't think you take everything that all of us together have gone through. It's not anything like David went through. Yet we see the spirit that he had, a spirit of joy and praise and worship to God. The New Testament, even in the face of persecution, Christians were joyful people. Friends, should we do anything less? No, we should be joyful all the time. I'm discouraged when I see brethren who have missed the point of life and the whole point of Christianity. There are some people that just look like it's just another religion. It's just church. They minimalize it. They've missed the whole point. They've missed the whole point, and sadly, they're going to miss eternity with God. But they call themselves Christians. And I can't answer for them. I can only answer for myself. But you hear people talking, and then I think about, what have I done? And I have not done as much as I should. I've done very little. And I stop and I think back. I think back over the years, what have I done? Well, I've done more. I can say this. I've done more in the last 5 years than I have a lot before that. But what have I done in the last 10 years? The last 20 years, the last 30 years with my life? I have to ask myself that. And you have to ask yourself that also. Do we understand what Christianity is? We were saved to save somebody else and to keep ourselves saved. We have to save ourselves, keep ourselves saved, and be busy trying to save others. And again, some people miss the whole point of Christianity, and they see it as maybe a social club, a place to come for conversation. Some people see it as a place to come to make business deals. And again, I don't think we have any of those problems, but you see that. You see that in people around about us, and it's discouraging. It's discouraging. And if we don't have those problems here, I get discouraged just thinking about those problems in some places around here. But we can't stay there. When we get discouraged, we can't stay there. I've got this compass up here getting from discouragement to encouragement. We've got to know where to head, the direction to head, so that we can be encouraged. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So some people might ask, well, if there's all these problems in the church, we might as well just throw up our hands and not go on or just stay home. Friends, that's not the answer either. Some people will say, why bother trying to do good when nobody cares? We could be doing everything we're supposed to here, but then in the community, our efforts don't bring forth fruit. And somebody would say, nobody cares, why should we keep going on? Well, that can be discouraging and depressing. But when we get depressed, when I get depressed, I've got to think about the other individual, and it's my responsibility to influence them to do better. If I see a brother or a sister that doesn't care about anything, I can do either of two things. I can point my finger at them and say, look at them. They aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. Or I can go over and say, hey, let's work on this. Let's go here. Let's go do this. Let's have a Bible study. Let's go talk to some people. We aren't a Christian by ourselves. And again, that's something else that's been discouraging over the last couple of years. We have been like divided and isolated, and people accept walking around where you can't even see people or understand what people are talking about. And everybody is just getting farther and farther away from God. But when we get discouraged, we got to understand, what can I do about it? God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has plans for me. God knows the plans for me before I was even born. And where am I to fulfill those plans? Am I to be some great architect and build magnificent buildings, or some great engineer and design magnificent things, or some great painter and do these wonderful paintings? And there's nothing wrong with any of those, but I am to fulfill my life, fulfill my plan in the church. That's where we are going to get joy. That is where we are going to get satisfaction. That is where we are going to encourage ourselves and encourage each other. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and songs and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So, what should we work for this church to be? We should work for this church to be a church that is in God's Word. Our heart should be touched by people that love God's Word, that want to stick to the truth, that want to teach the truth to others, to teach the truth to their family, to their grandchildren, to any and everybody that we can, that comes to Bible classes, to study more of God's Word. And God's Word is amazing. The more you study, the more you learn, the more, like going through the study of Peter on Wednesday evening, things that I missed so many times before. Friends, we need to be a church. We need to be a people that are into God's Word. This church should be a positive church. Positive. We can do things. We can do things with God's help. You think about when the 12 spies were sent into the land of Canaan to spy it out. How many of them were positive? 2 of them were. 10 were negative. We're just like grasshoppers. We can't do this. And you stop and think about that. God promised to give them the land, and then they said, we can't do it. Friends, we need to be positive. David was able to be victorious over Goliath because he knew that the Lord was with him. And in 1 Samuel 17, beginning at verse 37, moreover, David said, The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. You drop down to verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Friends, you think about this little shepherd boy. I don't want to say he was too little, but this young shepherd boy, was he discouraged? Not at all. Not at all, because he knew that God was with him. And what did he tell Goliath? You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. The Lord's going to deliver me into your hand. I'm going to take your head. I'll give the carcasses of the camp to the Philistines, to the birds of the air, the wild beasts. They're just going to devour you after I kill you. Friends, what kills us today? It's pessimism. Pessimism. Do we understand that God is God of all things? That if we are his children, we have access to him and his protection? I stop and think about God, and it just boggles my mind sometimes. I was reading a verse about, and it described God as the God of eternity. The God of eternity. And we get so caught up in time, and what time is it now, and when are we going to do this, and I've got to be here at this time and that time, and time means nothing to God. He's the God of eternity. He controls everything. Everything is in his hands. Why do I not worry about what's going on in the world? Because God's taking care of that. My worry isn't going to take care of that. God's taking care of that. And that's the God that we serve. What kind of church should we be to be encouraged? We should be a church that's unified. Again, division among God's people has always been a curse. You go back to the Israelites, when they were murmuring and complaining and rose up against Moses, that's never gone away. And again, one of the reasons there is a lot of bickering and complaining is people don't open their Bible. If we disagree on something, well, let's just sit down and help me understand what you mean by this. I was talking with someone yesterday about a young couple that's dating and some things involved with that. And he was asking my advice. And I said, you know what I would do? I would just make a list real quick of going down some of the things that divide the church. You can go back to the start with Ananias and Sapphira. And it was over money. And then all the different things and the things that transpired in this country, and just make a list and then ask each one, what do you think about this and what do you think about that? Because I said, when two people are dating, they aren't going to talk about, well, what do you think about instrumental music, or what do you think about supporting widows' homes? That's not likely to come up in conversation. But then you get to a point where something is brought up, and it's discouraging because people haven't discussed it. We need to be unified. We need to be a body where there's no division. Again, John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. you love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That love that is so strong that people are going to notice. There's something different about this group. You're a very loving group. So, if we want to be encouraging and we want to fulfill our duties in this church, what type of church should this be? It should be a praying church. It should be a praying church. And I am very thankful that it is. And this is a church that believes in prayer. And I look forward to the first of the month when we have our prayer service on Wednesday evening. You know, years ago, that's what Wednesday nights were in a lot of places. They were prayer services. For some reason, a lot of places got away from that. But when we pray for each other and we pray to God and we pray for things that are going on, it brings us closer together. It connects us with God. It connects us with each other. And then, too, as we are praying for each other, we should be making a list. We need to do something about this. We just don't give it lip service, but a praying church. What kind of church should this be so that we would be encouraged? It should be an evangelistic church where we are sharing the gospel. We went through a series on personal evangelism. I think we all have the tools. We need to keep praying, keep talking to people. We've got different ways we're trying to reach people for the community Bible studies. We'll have some more things to hand out soon with that. And again, God isn't going to grade us on the number of people that we bring here. He's going to grade us on the effort. Our job is to get saved, keep ourselves saved, and try to save others. And that's a lifetime job. So is all of this possible? Yes. I was going to say it depends on who you ask. Probably the ratio is pretty much the same if you went back to the 12 spies. A couple people would say, yes, this is possible. And a lot of people would know. They're just so down and discouraged. But friends, God has a plan for us. He has a plan for us before we were even born. We should not let fear stop you from that plan. And He has outlined what He wants us to be doing. There's so much discouraging stuff going on in the world. We just need to make a boundary and say, I'm not going to let that come into my life. I'm not going to let that discouraging stuff come into my life. I'm not going to bring that discouraging stuff into this church. We've got a job to do and to encourage each other to make this church what God wants it to be. We need to continue being a church in the Word, in God's Word. We need to continue being a church that is positive. We need to continue being a church that is unified. We need to continue being a church that is a praying church. And we need to continue being a church that is evangelistic. And friends, when we are busy working at that, we aren't going to have time to worry about a lot of the things that the people in the world worry about. Am I saying this is going to take worry out of our life? No. But we're going to be busy doing what God wants us to do. And we need to remember that our labor and the Lord's work is never in vain. If there's anyone here this morning that needs to make correction in their life, they have sin that they need to repent of or prayers to ask for. If there's any way that we can assist anyone this morning, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.